Live, it's Michelle Kors, 6 Degrees, your connected consciousness.
Hey, behave.
We're not separated by 6 degrees, we're connected. Discover what's hip, hot, happening, and what's not.
Help me help you. Help me help you.
It's what goes around, comes around radio.
Reason and accountability.
Basic instructions before leaving Earth.
6 degrees is the front line from finance to romance. Mainstream to metaphysical. Life, love, and the pursuit of passion.
Ooh, all right.
When you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point.
Now, here's your host, Michelle Kors.
Welcome to 6 Degrees Special Edition Backstage, an intimate look at actors, artists, and others who inspire the spirit of creativity, passion, and self-expression in our lives. Brought to you by Mike Wallace and the professionals at Rescue Services and Dub City Productions. I'm your host, Michelle Kors, and today we're visiting with Jonathan Rivera, one of the founding members, lead singer, acting manager, and technical director of Greenstone Project.
Hey, Michelle, how you doing?
Great. Welcome. What an honor it is to be with you here today.
Well, thanks for having me.
You're welcome. And you know, it's interesting. All my guests appear on my show because they're people that I've had the opportunity to get to know in person or have been referred to me by other friends. And I had the very first opportunity to hear you on the 4th of July. And what an incredible performance that was.
Yeah, that was a fun night. You know, that was for actually the Kauai Hospice. And it's a fundraiser every year that they do. And so we decided to, they called us and asked us if we would help them out and do a show out there. So it was great. Lots of people. And you were there. I remember seeing you that night.
I was there, you know, and it's not often, you know, I've been in media for almost 20 years, radio for 13. And it's not often that I'm inspired to seek someone out. I mean, I get thrown a lot of information at me, you know, look at this, do this, do that. And I was so moved by your performance. When I left, I was like, I need to find where these guys are going to play again. And so, you know, I went home and of course I went to Facebook and looked up and it didn't have your schedule on there, and I thought, I think they said they were going to be at the Hyatt. So then I looked on the Hyatt website and it didn't have you listed there, and it was kind of late. So the next day I actually called the Hyatt. And, you know, a lot of people, usually myself, don't go through that much work, but I was like, I had such a good time. And I was going through a transition in my life at the time. We'll talk about that on another show. But, you know, I called and found out on Wednesdays and Sundays you're at the Hyatt, and the end of the month on Fridays, and I could not wait to go. So I went to your next performance. I think it was the following Wednesday, or it might have been a Sunday. And, you know, here we are today.
Yep. You know, that's that feeling that you had. That's the feeling that we hope everybody leaves every performance that we do, you know. And that's it's just what we're going after all the time. We're always looking for people to have that feeling, to want more of what we do. And we're in that business of making people happy. So that's kind of, I'm glad you said that because I didn't know that until now.
Well, you know, now that we've had an opportunity to get to know each other a little bit, and, you know, I've been working with you on your branding. True branding is the feeling you leave somebody with. It's not your logo. It's not your website. It's how you leave them feeling. And you have done such an amazing job of assembling people and musicians and talent that not only have the ability to perform, but I mean, their heart is out there too, and you can feel it. You're not just watching something, you're experiencing it. I mean, I'm calling it the Green Stone experience from now and then. And so I want to know a little bit about, you know, your background, where you're from, how long you've been in music, and really what inspired you, because I think it's really important right now that people follow their passions and they get the confidence to do that. And if it's not coming from somewhere external, that they have the internal ability to say, you know what, this is what I love and I'm going to do it and I'm going to make it work.
Well, I grew up here, on the island of Kauai my whole life pretty much, and I was born and raised here. And then, you know, as far as music goes, I've always been around music, or it's always been around me. And I've always had a passion for it since my earliest memories. Music has always been that one thing that has always grabbed me, you know, from time to time. It pulled me back in this direction or that direction. And so, you know, I went to college. I grew up, I was playing music in a band called Kainoa Ohana here on the island locally. And then I decided, I'd always had, my second passion is football. So I decided to go to college and pursue that dream of playing professional football. And, you know, after I went to Shasta College in Redding, California, and then I went to Humboldt State on a scholarship to play ball. And then after that, that was all done. You know, that passion kind of died. So I moved home to Kauai and started working, trying to put my degrees to work. And I was a counselor at Waimea High School, my alma mater. And I did that for a couple of years. It was super gratifying work. You know, you get to help kids and dealing with some of the issues that we have nowadays with teenagers. And that thing was just, it just kept pulling me, like music. I just had that longing to do it, to be around it, to be more immersed in it. And so a couple of friends of mine, we got together and we decided, hey, let's go do this thing. Let's go play music. So we formed a band. It was called Aloha Breeze at the time. And, we did a lot of stuff here locally. It was kind of an island band. You know, we did island music, a little bit of reggae-ish and kind of our own island twist on some favorites, you know, some top 40 stuff here and there. And that band started to get some good work, and I just felt like, I'm back in this music thing again, you know. So I was enjoying it at that time and just kind of being in the moment of being back in music and around it and being creative again and doing all that stuff. And then we, you know, that band also kind of, it played out. We had a couple of personnel changes and we were starting to change things around, and the focus of the band was a little bit different. We started heading kind of more in the getting work more in the corporate arena. And so, you know, with that, you got to kind of tighten up the reins. And
It's a little bit different demographic, psychographic.
For sure. And so we, with some personnel changes and getting into that whole, the corporate world, we decided to make a name change as well, because that, you know, at the time, Aloha Breeze seemed like it was a, Hawaiian band. We would show up with hula dancers or something.
Exactly.
And it just wasn't what the music was like. It wasn't a good tell to what you're going to see, you know.
It's so wonderful that you had that awareness, because I've worked with several business owners and the name of their business is really wrong. It's not communicating the right message for, you know, who they are, what they do, and of course for you, your goals and dreams. Now, how did you assemble the band we know today as Greenstone Project?
So, I got a backstory of this a little bit, because as Aloha Breeze, like I said, we were making that turn, you know, we were thinking about doing something different and going harder in that corporate direction. And so for sure we needed a name change. So we decided to change the name of the band, and there was three of us left in the band in Aloha Breeze. And we decided to change the name to Greenstone Project. And that was something that we came up with, one night after a gig.
And we're going to tell the backstory of that one day on a longer interview. And actually, it'll be on your website as well. But it's a great story because, again, it's how it came to be. I don't believe there are coincidences. Everything happens for a reason.
Right. So Greenstone Project is actually an extension of Aloha Breeze. So we have three founding members, so to speak. It's myself, Pali Carbonell, the bass player, and Ariki Foster, the drummer. And we picked up another person. We called it Greenstone Project, and we were going with that for a while. And then with a couple more personnel changes, we added, Bart Skirbeck on keyboards, and then Jerry Jonah, which it's kind of round. You know, it starts back again, because Jerry Jonah was one of the original members in
Aloha Breeze,
and so. He brought back into the band, and then we just started plugging forward, you know, moving forward with the Greenstone Project, and that's where we are right now. The core of the band is a 5-piece band, but we're also able to add pieces. We have access to some really good top musicians on the island. We're able to add a female singer or an additional guitar or a horn section or whatever, so we can go up in pieces, but the core of this band is 5 pieces.
Yeah, and I have to say, now I'm a little biased now because I've had the opportunity to get to know each and every one of you, but not knowing anything about you and being at that very first, for me, original performance on the 4th of July, again, I could not believe the synergy between you, not just how you played as musicians, but how you embraced one another. And I didn't know you from Adam, but I could tell that there was, you know, a love and respect and aloha amongst you. And again, that's part of the brand. And it starts from the core of who you are and what you're creating in the world. And I love that you say that music is food for the soul, and that all of you share that same thing. You're musical chefs. And for each person you're playing for, or event, or special occasion, it's so important to you to create a recipe that the audience loves.
Yeah, I believe that to the core of me, that music is food for the soul, you know? And, you know, I think that synergy that you talk about on stage, it's because we're a musical band, but more than that, we're a band of brothers. And we all enjoy playing together. I mean, these guys are comedians. Their second job should be comedians.
Yeah, you looked like you were having so much fun, and I'm very sensitive to energy. I couldn't feel any ego between you. It was truly that you were having fun, enjoying, and that was your intention for the audience as well.
Definitely. I think when we perform, we perform as one. There's no intention of a standout. We're not trying to push any one personality on the audience. All we want them to do is experience the band as a whole for what it is and walk away wanting more. And that's the whole goal, is that.
Now, who first exposed you to music? How are you introduced?
You know, I grew up in a fairly musical family. My mom's side of the family was really musical, and my dad's side as well. He played in a band. They call the music locally Kachi Kachi music. It's Puerto Rican music. He played in a band when he was a little younger. And so, like I said earlier, you know, I was always around it. But I would guess that my most exposure came from through church. We used to attend church a lot when I was young, and, you know, with choir and band as well. There was a church band and everything. I was always wanting to be around those guys and singing and harmonizing. I also have, when I was younger, I had two younger brothers and one older sister. And we would try and sit around and sing four-part harmonies best we could, you know. And, you know, it's something special about siblings singing together. The voices just blend a whole lot better, you know, when it's your siblings. So we did that all the time, long car rides, or whenever we went on vacation, we'd always be around. So I would say in all, my family and church are my inspirations, or who first exposed me to music.
And then when did you discover that you really had the passion for it? And what genres, artists, and instruments were you drawn to?
That's a funny question in my head. It's an inside joke in my head, because I had never really aspired to play an instrument so much as I wanted to be a singer, you know? And I learned how to play the ukulele just out of necessity, because I wanted to be able to sing. But I didn't want to have to depend on anybody else to do it. You know, if I had to play live, I wanted to be there and play live if I had to. And so I thought the easiest music to learn was ukulele, and I didn't pick it up till I was a senior in high school.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and so one of my best friends at the time, this guy Jake Shimabukuro, he's a virtuoso in the ukulele, you know, in ukuleles right now. But he and I, you know, we used to sit around and play music, and he taught me a bunch of stuff, and eventually I learned how to play a little bit, and that's the instrument I play now. I don't really play it in the band because, you know, the boys, they take care of all the music. I just focus on singing. That was my goal, right, to sing. So growing up, you know, my mom, she listened to a lot of Motown, so like anything.
I love that. Your mom, Peaches and Herbs, Smokey Robinson, Michael Jackson, Quincy Jones, Stevie Wonder. I'm really fortunate as well that my stepdad actually had about 7,000 albums when I grew up. I measured them one day. I thought if the house caught on fire, it'd be like molten lava or something in black and vinyl. And I was exposed to everything. So I had such an appreciation for, you know, things that were, you know, 30, 40 years before my time often.
Definitely. You know, sometimes I know, like, I'll be listening to a song and I know I don't know it, but I know the words, and I go, how do I know this? You know,
I remember the words from a song from like 15 years ago, and I don't remember something that happened last week. I'm like, how's that possible? But you know, there's actually scientifically, and that's why they teach kids ABCs singing. We remember through song. And so much, I mean, you're Hawaiian, so much of our history and culture has been passed down through song and story. And back to brand is your story, who you are. But, you know, in addition to that, who helped encourage and build your confidence?
I can't remember a time where I was nervous on stage. I feel at home on stage. I tell you where I don't feel comfortable is behind the microphone on the radio. That's probably my least comfortable
I think
place.
You're doing a great job.
You know, I just...
We can trade because when I get on stage, I'm like, oh no, people are actually looking back at me. I have to do my hair and makeup now.
I can't remember a time, like I said, you know, where I was real nervous to be on stage. I've always been comfortable, so I don't know where that confidence comes from. I think it's, you know, I don't know what people sound like to themselves when they sing, or I don't know what they think they sound like. But when I sing, I think I sound pretty good to myself. So I go, whatever, you know, like I throw it out there and hope they like what I'm hearing, because I think it's, you know, I don't know. I just never had that nervousness about me.
Well, probably because it's your natural gift. I mean, it's who you are. You said your dad played a big role, though, that he came out and supported you, and that gave you a little extra confidence as well, just knowing he was there.
Well, definitely. My dad was my biggest fan, and
he still is.
Yeah. He's out there. He, you know, it's one thing that I keep, it's in my consciousness when I'm performing, is, you know, the spirit of my dad. He was always there, and I, he's my best friend, you know, and he was just always there. And so, to the point where all his friends would go, hey, how come all these people, they come up to you and they know you, and they're, you know, all these girls come up and say, hey, uncle, how you doing? Whatever. They're all my friends. But because he was just such a fixture at any one of my gigs, everybody knew him, you know, so.
Well, what an incredible inspiration he's been, because in my observation, you are that dad. And virtually every time we've had a meeting, you have your little one with you as well. Yeah. So very precious.
He's here now. He probably wants to be in the booth.
Yeah, he probably does. What is it about music that provides, you know, an outlet for self-expression for you?
You know, I guess I could sum up music for me along the lines of that, just being that hit, feeding the soul, you know. Music is powerful beyond what most people understand music to be. I think the lay person likes to listen, musically likes to listen to music, and they think it's cool or it's trendy or whatever. But beyond that, you know, music is vibration. Vibration is frequency. Frequency is deep.
Yeah.
You know, and so it can penetrate just about anything. It can make things, animate and inanimate objects, do things that, you know, breaks glass. You know what I mean? That's a good example. Like, music can affect a pane of glass to the point where it'll shatter. So as musicians, I think we're in control of a superpower, you know, and we can take a room, and maybe there's a room of 1,000 people, and maybe 300 of them had a horrible day, and maybe the other two, you know, maybe there's 20 of them that are going through divorce, and maybe there's, you know, and all kinds of moods, and we can put everybody basically in the same mood by just throwing some music at them, and you watch everybody sway. It's nice to watch people when they sway in sync, you know, like they're in the moment, they're understanding what you're doing, and what we're doing is trying to make everybody happy.
It's a mood altering drug.
It is.
That's calorie free.
It's powerful.
And it very much is. I mean, music is spiritual. We are energy beings. Regardless of what you believe, we are just molecules vibrating together. And music does have an effect on our soul. Different notes, they know, heal different organs. So, and I think like you do, and to me, I started in television, but radio is a very spiritual medium. These are physical waves that can be measured going out just because you can't see them. I mean, I would think my first show might be close to Mars by now. So, you know, the intention I put out on the air, or my host, or the people I work with, and the wonderful, incredible people I get to interview is important to me, because I'm putting that out in the consciousness. So I think we share those same core values. What continues to fuel and drive your passion for music?
Well, I think at its most elementary element is that I like doing it. You know, it's just something that I like to do. So on that element alone, I'd do it forever. But beyond that, you know, it's just that that drive to seek out or pull out the creativity out of your brain, your body, whatever, and see what you can come up with, see what you can create, see what you can do through music. You know, I often say my goal is to spread aloha throughout the world through music, you know, and aloha is a special brand. What it is love, right? Aloha is love, but aloha is a special brand of love because it comes from a special place that is, is here, you know, in Hawaii. And it's a all-encompassing love. It's an unconditional kind of feeling, you know what I mean? So spreading that aloha throughout the world through music, that's my ultimate goal. You know, that's what I want to accomplish. In the end game, that's where we're at. We're spreading aloha throughout the world and having everybody experience our brand of love, which is aloha.
I think you're already there. So again, why did you form Greenstone Project? What is your new direction now?
You know, currently we have a couple of new videos out on YouTube. We just got done doing some photo shoot stuff. And this is all stuff that we had been intending on doing for the past couple of years. But we just lagged on it. You know, I think we spent a lot of time honing our craft and getting together and tightening up and doing all the stuff that we like to do. Branding and marketing is not so much stuff that I like to do. It's just it's what we need to do.
It's a necessary evil.
Right. And so, you know, now we're kind of, we're flirting with that branding and marketing, and you've been such a huge help for us. And all of that is trying to hopefully help us push in the direction of doing a lot more corporate gigs, because we like those. You know, I mean, we like doing flyouts and stuff like that. Traveling is one of our, I think, all of our passions. So we like to go and be on the road. You know, the band, it's such a fun trip. When last year we went to Disney World, Florida. A company hired us to do their manager's meeting out there. And it was a really fun trip. And I just want to do more of those.
Mm. Well, we can get you there, I'm sure of it. What do you want people to feel or remember after, again, what I call a Greenstone Project experience?
I want them to have your experience. I want them to feel like they need to get more somehow. And if it takes calling the Hyatt and, you know what I mean? And against, you know, because we have no advertising out there. We didn't, and we don't have no calendar online. So it's like,
we're working on that.
You know, you know, if you can, I want them to have that experience. I want to always leave them wanting more. And I want them to say out loud, not just in their head. I want them to say out loud, like, man, where do these guys play next? You know, like I think that would be super cool to me if that happened. You know,
it is already happening. You know, I'm obviously working with you, but I'm a fan and in the audience, and people don't know who I am, and I hear them talking. And there was actually a corporate group that had huge global company, and Kauai is one of the places they have their President's Club, and they had hired some, I don't know who, but Grammy Award winner to perform. Yet they got to hear you at Kukuiula, and later that same night at the Hyatt, and they said, these guys are a million times better. And I said, hey, they'll travel. Where's your next event? They said, Barcelona. So, hey, I'm going to work on it. We'll see what happens. But I think you're already there. And last, tell me a little bit about, you know, your family and what's important to you in life. What do you treasure and value?
I mean, family is everything. I'll always fall back on family. You know, I have a beautiful son now. He's 14 months. And there's nothing in the world I would trade for that or that experience, and it's a new experience every day. And so, you know, I would say that he's the reason I breathe right now. And so that's kind of like, that's where I'm at with family. I'm married, I have a wife and a one son, and my dad is passed, but my mom's still here, she's on the island. And then I had a younger brother who passed as well. But his kids are still here on island. They're all young ones. And so, you know, as far as family, the plate's full. We got lots of family stuff going on all the time. And I really struggle with that balance of working and forming a career and then also making sure I have family time. And, you know, family loses the battle sometimes because work is so demanding and the pressures of work and pressures of getting stuff done and deadlines, you know,
me.
Yeah. But, you know, ultimately that's where it's at for me. I think family, I think the reason why I work so hard and try to succeed in this industry is so that I can lay back and spend time with the family once we get there, wherever there is.
Yeah. Well, I feel you're very close. And it's, again, it's such an honor to have, you know, first heard and been introduced to you as, you know, just a fan, somebody that was in the audience, and now have the opportunity to get to know you as a person and work with you. And I hope to be a valuable part of your journey as well. So thank you so much for visiting with me here today on Michelle Kors 6 Degrees. And I look forward to having you back.
Thank you. And I had it was a pleasure being here, and also a happy birthday, because you got one coming up.
I do.
Tomorrow, isn't it?
Yes, it is tomorrow. Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Aloha.
Listening to Michelle Kors 6 Degrees.
I had an awesome time.
Broadcast live. For podcasts, visit Michelle Kors at iTunes.
Connected.